I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
The scripture reading this morning is John 10, 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong in this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Thank you, Connie. That was a beautiful reading. You did a great job on that. You know, this text is real easy. And I say that in that so many people love to read this and they love to picture Jesus as the good shepherd, and here's Jesus, and you see paintings, and he's holding the staff and walking around. It's a great picture, you know, if that's all you want to think about this text, is that Jesus is the good shepherd. But that's not what John's telling us. That's what people hear, that's what people see, that's what people read, because basically that's what people want to believe. But there's so much more to the story than that. I want us to look at other dimensions from this. Remember these words that Connie read. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. That seems a whole lot deeper than just saying that Jesus is a shepherd. Jesus says there are others. Jesus says we need to be bringing everybody on board. Jesus is saying that he loves everyone. A Jew could read this and say, well, he's just talking about Jews. A Christian may read it and say, well, he's just talking about Christians. That isn't the case. He says there are others that are not of this fold. If he were talking just strictly of Jews, then yeah, Christians would be part of that group outside. If he's talking about Christians, there's that group outside. No matter how you read it, Jesus wants us all to come together. That's what it's all about. One shepherd, one flock. There's really no other way to read that. It boggles the mind how we so often read Scripture and we just see the surface, but we don't see what's under the surface. So other sheep, ask yourself, who are the other sheep? Sheep that do not belong to this fold. What fold? It's not specific. What fold is he talking about? It seems impossible to not look at this and wonder. To just see Jesus as a shepherd is just too simple. It is glossing over the deeper meaning of John's gospel. One. I want everybody to be one. One shepherd, one flock. You know, in a Peanuts cartoon, Lucy demanded that Linus change the TV channels, threatening him with her fist. What makes you think you can walk right in here and take over? Asked Linus. These five fingers. Lucy looked at her hand. She said, individually, they're nothing, but when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. Which channel do you want? Asked Linus. Turning away, he looks at his fingers and says, why can't you guys get organized like that? That's the message John's sending. Why can't you guys get organized like that? Why can't you make everything one? Bring all the other groups on board. He doesn't talk about conversion. He doesn't say you have to make them Christian. But you got to treat them like a brother and sister. Remember the saying of Jesus? Love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say love your other Christians as yourself, your other Jews as yourself. He said love your neighbor, whoever that is. It's what he says. He leaves it open that we may love others even outside of our own little group or our really big group, whichever way we want. I believe John is asking his audience that same question. Why can't you get organized? What does a shepherd really do? Does anyone know what a shepherd really did in Jesus' day? If you're wondering, well, am I going to hear about it? Yes, you are. To say he tends the sheep does not spell out the full responsibilities of a shepherd. It's a general term, an all-encompassing term. This is back in the day. Let me tell you a little bit about shepherds. They were the last people you'd expect God to take notice of in Jesus' time. First of all, they were religious outcasts. According to Jewish religious law, these men were unclean. Their line of work prevented them from participating in feasts and holy days that made up the Jewish religious calendar. Why? Well, somebody had to watch the sheep. When everyone else was making the trip to Jerusalem to make sacrifices at the temple or to participate in one of the annual feasts, they were out in the fields watching the sheep. A modern-day example might be someone who's an 18-wheeler driver, someone who works shift work, and they're not able to come to church. But see, back in those days, if you didn't go to the temple, you were an outcast. If we were to be so narrow-minded, so many people would be outcasts who cannot come Sunday morning or on a Wednesday evening. Not only that, but shepherds were borderline social outcasts. Since they were constantly on the move to find new pasture for their flocks, they were looked upon with suspicion. Kind of the way people today might look at gypsies or carnival workers. They were often accused of being thieves. If something came up missing, it must have been one of those shepherds. They were not permitted to give testimony in a legal proceeding because their word wasn't considered trustworthy. And on top of all that, they really didn't have much contact with other people. Most of the time, they were living out in the fields. This was not a 40-hour-a-week job. They didn't come home at night. They were with the sheep 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. During the day, they led the sheep to grass and water. They watched the sheep while they grazed. They kept an eye out for predators like wolves. And at night, they actually slept in the sheep pen with the sheep to guard against theft and animal attack. And Jesus is likened to a shepherd. Because a good shepherd could identify each one of his sheep by sight. He knew his sheep and they knew him. How narrow-minded we can be to not see the necessity of them being with the sheep and declaring them outcasts because they are with the sheep and not with us. How angry we might be if we lose one of our sheep and we say, "Where were you?" "Well, I went to church." The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. It is not unusual for Jesus to liken himself to those who are considered outcasts. He did that many times. Why are you eating and drinking with sinners? Because they're the ones who need me? It is not a stretch to say Jesus was an outcast insofar as the Sanhedrin, Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes, generally speaking, hated him and wanted him dead because he was out there with the sheep, tending to the sheep, not confining himself to religious services or practices. He was among those who needed him. And the Jewish authorities hated him for that because they didn't want to be around the riffraff. Jesus said, they're not riffraff, they're God's children. And they need me. And they need us. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. John's message in this passage is a message to us that Jesus' world is not confined to a particular group, whether in Jerusalem or anywhere else, but to the world at large, to all who need and who are in need of God's word, whether Jew, Gentile, black, white, brown, red, male, female, doesn't matter. Jesus says we are all God's creation, all worthy, all loved, and all welcome at the table of the Lord. Is there anyone here who believes there are people that are not worthy of being at this table? This passage puts in giant letters, come together, all of you, for the good shepherd has arrived and shall remain with you all the days of your life. Be out there and bring those outsiders in. One night at a dinner, a man who had spent many summers in Maine fascinated his companions by telling of his experience in a little town named Flagstaff. The town was to be flooded as part of a large lake for which a dam was being built. In the months before it was to be flooded, all improvements and repairs in the whole town were stopped. What was the use of painting a house if it were to be covered with water in 6 months? Why repair anything when the whole village was to be wiped out? So week by week, the whole town became more and more bedraggled, more gone to seed, more woebegone. Then he added by way of explanation, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. There are people out there that have no faith in the future. And Jesus says, go get them. Give them that power. Faith is power. Jesus knew those who did not receive the word, who were unaware of God's presence in their lives, regardless of their station in life, would have no power because they had no faith in the future. Jesus was and is the power for all of us. When we try to exclude people from God's church, from God's love, for whatever reason, we are denying them a future by stealing their power. Jesus would never, never approve of such action. And you can tell that by what he says. Pride, arrogance, prejudice, bigotry, hate, vengefulness, and just plain meanness have no place in God's church, God's community of faith, in God's world. There is no place for those kind of things. Jesus says love. We, the followers of Jesus Christ, are to intercede for those who are downtrodden. Are we not? Is that not what he lived? For those needing a kind word, a healing hand, a word of forgiveness, that is who we are supposed to be at our core. God's emissaries. Just as Jesus was. Jesus knew people contribute their uniqueness to churches, and therefore they make it stronger. Each person in the body contains a host of knowledge, insight, and experiences. They all do. Look at those who surrounded Jesus. Look at those. Tax collector, enemy of the people. A physician, a fisherman, a woman who was a prostitute. Some were poor, some were wealthy, some were energetic, others were not. They were very passive. Some were explosive like Peter. Others like James were logical and they would take a long time to think about things. Jew or Gentile, Roman or Syrian, they were all around Jesus, believed in Jesus, and heard the gospel. We read about them in the Gospels. Jesus didn't want to deprive anybody of the power. He didn't want to deprive them. The question for us, reading this text, after what Connie read, are you inclusive or do you discount others and consider them not as good as you? Because there isn't anyone Jesus didn't include as good as him. Are you a person who gives hope so others may feel empowered? Or do you take their hope away? Remember, where there is no faith in the future, there is no power in the present. If someone has no faith in the future, it is because they have no faith in the future. Or that you would deny them the power of Jesus Christ. I can't imagine any of us wanting to deny anyone the power of Jesus Christ. That's just hard to fathom. Jesus said, I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. I ask you today, will you help our Lord and Savior to achieve one flock? That he may be the shepherd of them all? He's asking you that. I ask you that. Are we to come together? Or do we want to spread the sheep and be wolves? This text goes so much deeper than Jesus is the good shepherd. It's a beautiful vision, a beautiful image of Jesus doing that. But that's not what John says. John says, be a part of that. Bring people to Christ. One flock, one shepherd. Let us pray. Dear Lord, as we come before you, oftentimes we allow our personal feelings to interfere with our Christian duty, with that which you have set before us as your followers. We ask that you cleanse us of any hate, bigotry, lack of forgiveness, whatever it is that may separate us from others, that we may welcome them with open arms and make one flock that you may shepherd. For we are yours, O Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. Guide us, for we ask this in your holy name. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.